Come on, now start it to me. Sing me a song. Let's keep the music moving. We're going strong. One more later.
Ted Steele here for Monitor 68. And this half hour, we'll meet two very interesting men. A druggist who has some definite ideas about smoking and writes up when he talks about it. And an orthopedic surgeon who loves to dig up things about famous people.
Love is like candy on a shelf. You want to taste and help yourself. The sweetest things are there for you. Help yourself, take a few. That's what I want you to do. We're always told repeatedly, the very best in life is free. And if you want to prove it's true, baby, I'm telling you, this is what you should do. Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms, just say the word and they are yours. Just help yourself to the love in my heart, your smile has opened up the door. The greatest wealth that exists in the world can never buy what I can give. Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms, and then let's read. Love enough for two, more than enough for me and you. I'm rich with love, a millionaire. I've so much, it's unfair. Why don't you take a share? Just help you.
Music by Tom Jones. Dr. Charles Goff is an orthopedic surgeon by profession, but his avocations are archaeology and anthropology, which means he likes to operate in the past and diagnose some important people he never had a chance to have as patients, including the man whose day we honor next week, Christopher Columbus. Monitor's Frank Knight was in the waiting room for the doctor's very post-mortem report.
Many years ago, as a traveler, I visited the ruins abroad and especially in Middle America. The bone aspect for an orthopedic surgeon is wonderful because it gives him the feel of the individual, and then you can reconstruct what the individual looked like. I believe the most interesting had to do with the bones of Christopher Columbus, which I have had the opportunity of examining in Santo Domingo.
What did he look like?
Christopher Columbus was a big-boned, broad-shouldered man. When he died, he was about 58, and he was 5'9½" in stature. He must have been a robust fellow, and we know of his great physical prowess and his terrific stamina. He stood up under tremendous adversities, and in general, he had these large bones, these wonderfully well-made bones. His skull was broken. There were only a few pieces, so we can't tell about the size of his brain.
Did he suffer from any diseases or deformities?
No, he didn't. He had nothing. He did not have any syphilis. It left no marks on his bones, and he obviously had never had syphilis.
A fascinating story.
Dr. Goff, on your trip to this ancient Sicilian town, you came across some very interesting things.
There was a racetrack in Morgantina, and it was an agricultural center and a very wealthy one. So they made lots of money, and they spent it on the races.
You mean they actually bet at the races way back when? What was the period?
Oh, yes. It was in the time of the Greeks, 200, 300, 400, 500 B.C., and the Romans later on, of course, were great horsemen and great race enthusiasts. They all bet on the races. The race course is laid out in Morgantina. It's a beautiful race course. And, of course, the stalls are there, and even the names of the horses in Greek are chiseled on the stone in front of the stall.
A racing form.
Yes, and these horses had apparently owners, and the owners buried their gold that they won on the races in the floor of the stall where the horse was that won the race.
Most unusual. Thank you very much. Dr. Charles W. Goff of Hartford, an orthopedic surgeon and an active devotee of both archaeology and anthropology.
Very interesting what people can find around old places. The Mills Brothers, for example, found a new hit.
Say, will you lend me a fiver, Jack? I know today I could win it all back. I only need me one more crack at the old racetrack. And I've been living in a rundown shack. And though my future is looking black, it won't be long till I win it all back at the old racetrack. That old Daily Double brought a whole mess of trouble my way. Took my fate, I built my wallet getting thinner. Time to pay for winter on a six furlong today. So if you lend me a fiver, Jack, I know someday I will pay you back. I only need me one more crack at the old racetrack. I only need me one more crack at the old racetrack.
Brothers winning on a pleasantly slow track, and the time 17 minutes after the hour. The place here on the Monitor Beacon.
Lee Stern is a Democrat. On November 5th, he's going to vote for Richard Nixon. Here's why.
I feel that a change is needed in our administration. World opinion of the United States has sunk to a new low. We have unrest here in the cities, and I feel that a new broom will sweep clean, and Richard Nixon is the man that can do the sweeping.
Nixon spent 8 years in the White House under an administration that saw tranquility here in the United States as well as abroad. And that experience, coupled with the experience that he's gained in his law practice and worldwide travels, will give this country a new type of leadership that certainly we need.
Whatever your party, this time, vote like your whole world depended on it. This time, Nixon. The preceding pre-recorded political announcement was paid for by the Nixon-Agnew Victory Committee. WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
Singer Carol Lawrence is now touring in the musical I Do, I Do. And it's just possible that what she's saying I do to is this.
It always seemed to me to take a try at love that it would have to be a very quiet love, a love to keep me warm and safe, a good love, a sweet love. I told myself that passion would defeat love and make it fly. And then it came my way, the love I'd waited for. And bit by bit each day, I came to hate it more. A love that tore my soul apart, a hard love, a cruel love. I knew I had to turn away and lose love, or I would die. And now, once again I'm free, all my dreams have flown, and I live along with my dying love.
Here's an item for those who followed today's baseball game on NBC. This is the 47th anniversary of the first radio broadcast of a World Series game. It was played at New York City between John McGraw's Giants and Miller Huggins' Yankees. The Giants lost 3-0. Incidentally, that was the first of three straight years that the Giants and Yankees met each other in the World Series. I guess they don't make Giants and Yankees like that anymore. Monitor music now from Gary Puckett and the Union Gap.
Why am I losing sleep over you? Reliving precious moments we knew. So many days have gone by, still I'm so lonely, and I guess there's just no getting over you. Part of you left behind.
Smoke or not to smoke? That's one of the burning questions of our time. It's a difficult enough problem for those who have been buying cigarettes for a long time. But what do you do if you're Sidney Greenblatt, a pharmacist from Morristown, New Jersey, who's been making part of his living by selling them? Monitor's Gary Schoenfeld got the unusual answer.
Mr. Greenblatt, could you explain what program you have in this drugstore to stop smoking?
We prohibit smoking in the drugstore by all our own personnel. we do not allow any displays by the cigarette companies which would encourage the sale of cigarettes. We will have, or should have very shortly, warning signs which will be displayed that cigarettes can cause heart disease, emphysema, tuberculosis, and other related diseases.
Do you also use the soft sell approach?
I personally do, and I find that is the most effective way, because you cannot chase the people away from the cigarettes. They want to buy them, and you just have to convince them in the roundabout method that this is bad for their health.
Well, just what is your approach, your soft sell?
My own? I do not smoke myself, and I tell the people that I don't, and that I hope to live longer than they will if they continue to smoke.
How effective is that?
We have not seen any real effect. I think most adults that have reached an age of in the 30s are trying to stop smoking. Some of them find it very, very difficult. Some find it more easier to stop. The children are the biggest problem. These children seem to be smoking earlier, and it's harder for them to get off of the habit.
Just what has the reaction been from cigarette companies to your program?
Well, they're a little angry and a little bit put out more so than I think they should be. But we do have salesmen for the cigarette companies, and they don't smoke either.
What else do you think can be done to stop people from smoking?
Until the government realizes that the tax monies that they receive are less important than the public health, then they will do something about it. Until that time, I think that most adults will go along with the assumption that if it was really bad for their health, Uncle Sam would do something about it.
Isn't the warning on the side of a pack of cigarettes enough?
People read it, and yet they don't seem to pay any attention. I'm afraid that actually for us to get anywhere, the federal government is going to have stronger measures than what they have taken.
What do you suggest?
I would like to see them ban tobacco if their certification of all these problems are true, and I assume that they are. Then I feel it is the benefit of the public to be banned just as we ban opiates or any of the narcotics that we are not allowed to sell. I feel that this would be to the benefit of the public health.
Thank you, pharmacist Sidney Greenblatt. This is Gary Shenfeld in Morristown, New Jersey for Monitor.
Well, whether you agree with Dr. Greenblatt or not, I think his decision to put his ideas ahead of his inventory makes him a king-size citizen. And there's no controversy about whether we can use more of those these days. Astrid Gilberto, the girl from Ipanema, who gave it all up to become a housewife and found a rainbow to sing about.
Sing me a rainbow, paint me a dream, show me a world that I've never seen. Whisper the sunset, and when you do, you'll know how I feel. I say you'll know how I feel. You'll know how I feel when I'm with you. Walk through my life on such an ordinary day. But it's been extraordinary since you've come my way. There's nothing in the world that I can't do as long as you continue to sing me a rainbow, paint me a dream. Show me a world that I've never seen. Whisper the sunset, and when you do, you'll know how I feel. I say you'll know how I feel. You'll know how I feel when I'm with you. Brought something special to a life that was so plain. Feelings that you turn me on to, I just can't explain.
Hey, here's a preview of what you'll be listening to on Monitor tomorrow afternoon, after the World Series is over.
Yes, Henry will be there as host, and he'll be joined by Monitor regulars Bob Considine, Joe Garagiola, and Dr. Joyce Brothers. Incidentally, Joe G. will be sending in last-minute reports from the World Series in Detroit. And there'll be conversations with beautiful Angela Lansbury and not-so-beautiful comedian Stanley Myron Handelman. But that's Monitor tomorrow. Right now, there's music. An old-timer whom I'm always glad to have around, Enoch Light, a little bit of Old Devil Moon. There be light, Enoch. Come back more often. And that goes for you, too. Let's make a Saturday night of it again soon. I'm Ted Steele, your host for Monitor.
Hark! Music's right here. Shakespeare's famous words that ring.